Industry-leading, difference-making, tomorrow-shaping, world-changing. These are a few of the adjectives people use to describe the technologies and companies Deloitte works with day in and day out. Join us, and soon those very same adjectives could describe your career too. Explore technology careers at deloitte.com/techcareers and make an impact on business, technology, and society while engineering your future. At Deloitte.
As long as I continue to make everything look pretty and shiny on the outside, I didn't care how miserable and ugly I felt on the inside. I realized that I deserved a better me, so I can be the wife and the mom that I really wanted to be.
If you're ready to get real about addiction treatment, call Karen. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
We are already getting sundial mentions in the chat. Will you all calm down?
Are we in trouble?
No, we're not in trouble. Yeah, well, you can talk about it in a second. But first, we have an awesome show for you guys today. This show is all about the business of the cannabis industry. We are here to talk to three guests every Thursday about what they do in the industry, what they're doing to progress it, what their 2021 looks like, etc. But first, let's see who these guests are. Aaron, could you cue us up, my friend? I don't know how you keep that on the other, in the corner, on the other YouTube station.
That's a cool theme song.
I'm pumped up, man. This is Cannabis Hour again, where the points don't matter, pot is hot, and the guests are rad. That is about as MTV as I will get today. Tony, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Drew Carey. How are you doing?
I got that reference. Trademarked. Yeah, I don't need any trademark infringement here. anyway, this can be a fun day. I have a lot to talk about with these guests. I have some questions about franchising in cannabis.
Yeah, I have a few.
Seems like a boring topic, but at the same time, it could take over. It's taken over in other industries. So I'm excited to hear what these guests have to say. But first, we're starting with the real estate aspect of Zone Properties. They have been in the cannabis industry forever. OTC QP, they are ZDPY. Definitely one you want to take a look at. Then we're going to move to Open Door, and they have a unique partnership. We'll get to more of that. And then we're going to top it off with Sky Bioscience, who has, I mean, they've been around in different facets for a while, but they've really taken some growth lately that I'm excited to dive into.
Yes, they had some coverage recently about all of their synthetic cannabinoid drugs that they have in the pipeline. So I'm excited to chat with them.
Yeah, honestly, though, this year has been insane, Tony. Well over $1 billion placed into cannabis. And if you don't like cannabis in the chat, XXII is a great one. James Nolet 777. You know, they're interesting. They're a unique play. We'll have to get them on the show for sure. Sundial, obviously huge room for growth. We'll get them on hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they're a must. Former unicorn, must. Lost their fortunes, but now they've been making noise all week. I tracked it Monday. It spiked. Tuesday, it dipped. Wednesday, it rebounded again. And then today, they closed a over $74 million offering.
You know what? And don't be afraid of past trauma. I know trauma is scary, but like in the cannabis industry, trauma is common.
Yeah.
You know,
pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back in the game.
Absolutely. It's really about resiliency in this game. You know, I was reading a Viridian report today about some companies in the space, and I thought it was interesting to mention maturing debt isn't as scary because of that capital we're seeing come into the space. And it surprised me to see some of the companies that maybe were scary before because they've been doing pretty well recently, such as a Cansortium, a Kushco, a Plus Products. Some definitely three companies right there you want to keep an eye on. And then they also mentioned Stem Holdings, Tilt Holdings, as two that are probably a little undervalued, which honestly still surprised me again. I don't know if you have any thoughts there, Tony. I just thought it was super interesting to mention.
Well, it's interesting that certain industries are debt friendly and others are not. I read something recently that, because I interviewed Anthony Scaramucci last week, that posted on the Benzinga YouTube channel. And one thing that they said was, do not use debt to invest in cryptocurrency. So maybe cannabis, where they zig, cannabis zags. And it's like, well, taking on a little bit of debt to boost your growth might be the wise choice to make.
Gherkin Sisman, that's going to be a long conversation, my friend. Can you also talk about which companies are mainly growing in kit suppliers, indoor, outdoor growing kits, systems, light systems? I mean, AgriFi is an obvious one. Grow Generation, probably the stock in the industry right now. Any others that come to mind
this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been nonstop since 2021 began. I think that if you're looking for the coverage on the biggest movers and shakers, come to benzinga.com/cannabis. Mm-hmm. We got you covered.
Tony heads that up, y'all. He drops the mic on this knowledge daily with the stories you write, my friend. And you know what?
I'm learning just like everybody else.
You know what? 5 points to you for the hair. So you're going to start ahead of the game. Five points.
I got a little haircut. Did you notice?
I did. It's suave. It's wavy. I had no idea. so you know what? I'm excited. You know, today, I would say we'd be remiss to not mention the GW Pharma Jazz Pharmaceutical news. Creating probably one of the leaders in just neuroscience, period.
Holy cow. Like, I think that just started with the merger Monday, right? Was it Monday or Tuesday? The rumblings of this merger started.
Tuesday.
It doesn't matter. But it was it was a huge deal. And right at the time when people were like, is there going to be a lot of M&A in 2021? Is there not going to be? We were a little bit, you know, shaky.
That question's been answered, my friend.
But then there's a bunch of like our M&A channel on Benzinga.com with the cannabis space, with respect to cannabis, has been very, there's news flowing through that channel. Yeah. There are deals being announced in various forms. So that was just the big one, but there's going to be a bunch of little ones. And I think this is going to be a year where consolidation really sees an uptick.
And something I'll piggyback off that for everybody on this chat, cannabis is not new to Benzinga. We are one of the leaders in cannabis financial news out there, in my biased and personal opinion. But before we move on to Brian, I do want to mention February 25th, Cannabis Capital Conference. We are going to be talking about the consolidation in the year ahead. We're going to be talking about CBD opportunities and Arizona and New Jersey and Massachusetts and so much more.
Can't wait.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving. Brian McLaren, he is the chairman and CEO of Zoned Properties. Again, that is OTCQBZDPY. ZDPY is the ticker. Brian, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great, Elliot. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We could rap all day about what's going on in the market right now.
I know. The new platform here, you guys are, you've always been at the big boys in the cannabis community, but now you're...
I mean, we're at the table with our colleagues. I'm happy to say we're not at the kids' table today.
I was not the youngest in my family. I was always at the kids' table. I'm just happy to be at a table.
Well, Brian, we can send Tony back there. He can go to the kids' table. No, Brian, we're glad to have you, my friend. It's exciting. I've known about Zoned Properties since I first dove into cannabis about 2.5 years ago. And I would love for you to tell our community here, who are you? What do you do? Where do you play in this space?
Yeah, thanks guys again for having us. It's you know, over the years, it's been an interesting timeline for us to consider coming on shows like this. We've been around as a company since 2014, and I've been around the industry since 2010. And we've been, I'll kind of give the overview, but we've been very focused building under the radar so that when time to come on these shows, we have real stuff to talk about. So again, thanks for having us and excited to be here. So Zoned Properties, we are very simply a strategic real estate development firm that focuses on the regulated cannabis space in North America. I myself am originally from outside of Toronto, Ontario, so very familiar with the Canadian cannabis market. And my entire background is in real estate development, urban planning, sustainable development, and community work. So for years at the start of my career, we were building local codes around how to get solar land use renewables in place and wind turbines in communities that had never had them. So it was it was really interesting to see how that local regulatory structure worked. And then it was obvious to apply all of that knowledge and best practice to cannabis, which is just crazy hyper.
It is crazy hyper.
Yeah.
We lost you after hyper, Brian. I'm not sure.
Lose him. He was speaking to my heart too about sustainability.
I know. I was definitely going to dive into that further. We will hopefully have Brian back with us shortly. Hopefully coming right back over. But honestly, zone properties is a huge. Oh, there he is. Brian, we lost you at crazy hyper.
Yeah, crazy hyper.
Oh, we lost him at the smile.
It looks like the Joker victim. He just freezes with a smile. All right. We can kill some time. I mean, I could easily talk about how guys like Brian are very valued in the industry because...
Why don't you give us a little preamble to Brian, assuming he gets back over here, about the importance of real estate?
Right. Well, there's a cross-section between sustainability and cannabis. I think that because cannabis is such a young industry, has the chance to do it right. And some of our coverage recently on the site has been focused on what cannabis isn't doing. And it's not doing enough to be sustainable. So guys like Brian, and he's back, he's making cannabis sustainable.
All right. Well, I have so many questions about how that is happening. But Brian, can you hear us?
I can. Yeah, I got good signal here, guys. So hopefully that's the last of the disruption.
Yeah.
No worries, man. No worries. We are, I think we're good now. So we'll let you take it over back to Crazy Hyper.
Crazy Hyper Local is where we're going. And I think just... that hyper-local regulatory aspect is really intriguing for real estate and community planning nerds like myself. But for us, it's how the whole industry was born. Grassroots movement over a long period of time. You know, it's just been amazing to watch these state-by-state regulatory case studies come online. So what we do at Zoned Properties as a strategic real estate developer, we're helping operators, landlords, local community, zoning officials. I mean, everything that's related to getting these cannabis projects developed and delivered, we're focused on. So it's green zone mapping, site identification, you know, everything down to architectural design. How do you build up these large scale utilities? And the only reason we know how to do that is we spent lots of our early years acquiring and developing and going through that unknown labyrinth ourselves with our own large scale portfolio out here in Arizona. So, it's been a really exciting industry and lots of directions, however you guys want to take it for the discussion.
Yeah, I just want a really quick follow-up because I know Tony has a bunch of questions here. When you first started acquiring, what was your, because I mean, we're about to see a lot of acquisitions again. So where did you start and where did you potentially end?
Yeah, so Arizona has definitely been our home base. Where the company was founded, and obviously Arizona was one of the early states to get the medical regulatory program up and running as a limited license style state. And it's, in my belief, really where most of the country has then evolved its own regulatory structure at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so for our acquisition strategies and our development over the years and where we're moving forward, we can talk about some of the pivots we've made to kind of, I think a phrase I love in cannabis is go where others won't or can't. It was all about the real estate positioning on that strategy board. And for Arizona here and in many of the other states, if the general audience doesn't know, the way that these sometimes very limited and valuable marijuana operational licenses can be awarded is attached to real estate. So when operators are applying for their licenses, just about always the very first step in that process is to identify a piece of real estate, confirm local zoning and permitting. And then if you're lucky enough to be awarded sometimes some of these very coveted limited licenses, like in states like Arizona, Connecticut, Florida, West Virginia just recently occurred on the retail side, you really got to have that real estate process and a partner that knows what they're doing, or you can really trip and stumble in that.
Money. Well, you need money.
Right. That's it. Real estate and money. Yep. And we can definitely talk about the capital too on the real estate side.
Yeah. Well, I just got to ask, I mean, how lucky are you to be based in Arizona at this time? I mean, Benzinga.com, just one of our recent headlines was Arizona heats up and so many companies making moves there. Mint, Columbia Care, Curaleaf, Harvest Health. Like, it's just a hotbed now. I mean, Arizona's hot normally, but
yeah,
you know what I mean. I got it, like, figuratively speaking, like, how lucky are you to be based in Arizona?
I mean, Tony, extremely lucky and just grateful every morning, not just to be excited to hop out of bed and work in a really exciting emerging industry, but yeah, Arizona right now is very exciting times. A lot of the industry has been waiting for this point to really kick off this market.
Well, I got to ask though, as a quick follow-up, what are they doing right? What's the state doing right? Because a lot of people look to Arizona as being like, hey, like, I think they broke the record for from legalization to market.
Yep.
I mean, I think, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. And where they're looking at New Jersey and they're like looking at the watches, like, what, you know, what's the delay here? And
right.
So what's Arizona doing right? And is there anything that they're doing wrong or could improve on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great question. So some critical high level pieces they're doing very right. Interactive, collaborative creation of a regulatory structure with operators and local officials that actually can execute, so that when that Proposition 207 was passed in November, real quick process to finalize regulatory structure. And then when the regulatory structure is finalized and approved, the regulators, they did their job, they get out of the way and the operators can execute. So that was one of the kind of contemplated questions here on the ground when January 19th opened, which was the first day that licensed operators could submit for their adult use dual licenses. It's kind of, how long was that going to take the state to turn those applications around? It was like 48 hours and there were, you know, almost 70 groups open for business the next day. So yeah, what they did right, Tony, just the way they approached the creation of the regulations, the way that the state does not try to be an overseer at the local level. So they deferred down to local applicable processes. And rather than, you know, send out 100-page booklet to zoning directors across the state, which other places have done, it makes the process to go to market so much more challenging. And that was, you know, we've come a long way too, though. It was, you know, seemingly forever ago that, I mean, it's just been great to watch Harvest just crush it out here. But Steve White and I were like writing local codes in Tempe, Arizona back in the early days, and it seemed to take forever. So I think we learned from our mistakes, and they've done just a tremendous job rolling that program out.
I want to dive more into, you know, how you help companies sustainably. But first, you know, when we look at the news that's come out this week, let's be a little bit topical here, with Chuck Schumer and some of these other senators maybe planning legalization a little bit earlier than I think a lot of people expected. Does it really matter? Do you know what I mean? In the sense of, with these states controlling their licenses and the, you know, all these baggages, you know, tied down to these licenses, what does that mean for somebody like you?
Yeah, I mean, short answer is, I think it does really matter for an almost indirect reason, Elliot. I think it really matters the way it's happening right now at the federal level, more on ancillary adjacent traditional business. I mean, just yesterday, we had a panel with one of the largest mortgage-backed service providers, the MBA. This is the first time they've ever talked to their association and audience about how to service cannabis-based tenants, loans, and cash calls. So I think that federal level is signaling to everyone, not just our eco chamber of cannabis people, but it's time to get involved, big brokerage houses, big commercial real estate owners, and that's how it impacts us. I mean, we're having some really exciting conversations across the country. And we've worked now in about 15 states on projects directly over the years. But this is, in the past four to six months, really, the past 2 months, large-scale commercial retail center owners are seriously trying to figure out how to get into this industry, but cautiously. So that's, I mean, that's going to be a huge change.
Watch out for ZDPY once that happens.
we can be in the mix and be a partner to some of those big owners and developers.
Fantastic. So, Tony, one more question on my end. You being zoned achieved carbon neutrality. Is that correct? Yep. And is that something that you focus on with your tenants?
Yeah, it's huge. And it's always tough for a real estate owner and leaser that's triple net to work with their tenants. A lot of times it's hands off, send me the check, you know, or here's the capital on the lease back and we collect the return. It's really important to us to have operating tenants that have those same values. And it's just good business sense because the local community gets impacted by this. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see really amazing data finally coming out that cannabis significantly increases prosperity metrics in local communities, which adds value to the real estate rather than the kind of fear propaganda we've heard for the past 75 years. So yeah, there's groups across the world right now that are focused on sustainable development, cannabis, resource efficiency, you know, what we call the full cycle economy. Right now here in Scottsdale, waste management's, you know, kicking off the Phoenix Open, which is the largest zero waste event in our country. And actually helped build that event before I was with Zoned. I was part of the waste management sustainability team. So we're bringing all that to these cannabis sites when we can.
Tony, there's a good question in the chat. Do you mind if I ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you ever buy land on speculation before having a deal in place, or are you financing the space that a client chooses? Yeah,
great question. So we have done that in the past. It creates definite higher risk challenges because the hyper-local zoning regulations can shift very drastically. So we have not done that recently. I think our approach, and I know we're going to transition to this in the hour shortly, but we really love this concept. Rather than speculative land acquisition and development, which in some cases might be valuable, but we are much, much more bullish on this franchise concept with our new franchise partner, The Open Door, and how we can really unlock a lot of this existing retail brick and mortar that's just been hit very hard by the past year with the pandemic. And let's face it, I mean, we're multiple decades in this reimagination of brick and mortar retail. Mm-hmm. And existing best practices within a franchise, if you can unlock the formula for cannabis, is really critical.
Yeah. Tony, did you have a question that I interrupted you three times?
No, it's no problem. One quick question, because it reminded me of someone that I interviewed recently whose company helps, it's SolarCal. They help companies become energy independent, self-sustaining, and by helping them find the folks who can get them set up with solar panels. And one thing that he talked about was there's this misconception that people think that it's messy and confusing, and two, it's going to cost the business owner or the franchisee. So can you talk a little bit about that before we transition to the next portion of the show? Is if I'm a cannabis business person, what should I know? Should I be afraid of it hurting my balance sheet in terms of transitioning from to be self-sustaining and to use solar panels and renewable energy?
Yeah, and this is one of the most critical questions, I believe, for the next decade for cannabis operational sites, because more than ever, specifically for cannabis, the return on investment for these utility upgrades, especially the sustainability related ones, they pencil out very quickly. It's in the renewable energy industry 20 years ago, it was like a 40-year return on investment to invest in rooftop solar. That is definitely no longer the case today. New technology, new third-party financers. It is possible more than ever to get a solar installation specifically on your commercial building without spending a dime. So yeah, I know Candescent was one of the first movers on this in California at their site to cover their operation with solar. I'm super jealous we weren't a part of that project. But I was cheering from the sidelines when they did it. Yeah.
So there's almost zero excuse at this point.
Just finding the right partners to add to your brain trust to help you troubleshoot. I mean, we all know in cannabis, you're doing a million things, yes, 10 times faster than every other industry. So just bump it to the top of your list.
Yeah. Absolutely. So real estate, huge discussion within cannabis, and rightfully so. But I think we need to transition to a separate conversation or a related conversation. Let's bring Catherine Blackwell on. She is the co-founder and CEO of The Open Door, a strategic partner to Zoned Properties. And hi, Catherine, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're great. It is wonderful to have you. We are very excited to look into more on the cannabis franchising model. But first, I'd like for you to just go ahead and dive into The Open Door, maybe how you all formulated this, Zoned Properties play in it. And Brian, if you want to jump into there, we'd love to hear from both of you.
Right. So The Open Door is a franchise model for cannabis dispensaries. And while franchising may sound boring, it's pretty exciting for some of the license holders and the investors in these licenses, right? So I met Brian and his interest in real estate and obviously his expertise in the real estate space and all the complexities in trying to find a franchise location for a dispensary. He's got all the zoning and permitting and all of that experience, believed in the project and believed in the franchise opportunity and the value that it could bring to the cannabis dispensary operators. And he's the Zoned Properties is supporting us.
Awesome. That's really cool. You know, maybe a little bit more education for me specifically, probably not the educated person out there. Who owns these dispensary licenses? Who are you helping?
Yeah.
Well, that varies state by state. I mean, sometimes they're entities, sometimes they're individuals with just one with the license to operate one dispensary. Sometimes licenses can allow somebody to operate up to multiple locations, 35, 40 locations. And, you know, some of these license holders are not necessarily wanting to be in the retail industry or have the experience in the retail industry. So that's where we can come in and help. We've got the operating procedures, the design and the layout, all of the vendors spec'd out and vetted. So it really gives them a leg up on the competition in the new markets, especially these new markets for new licenses. And with so many states coming on recreationally, it's we can help them bypass not only the learning curve in the retail operations, but in the most complicated learning curve of operating a dispensary.
Yeah. I think you guys got to dive into Kathy's background too, and I won't stroke your ego too much, Catherine. But
yeah, well, I've read a lot about Catherine. Please, I mean, you're a global franchisor. Like, there's a lot of coverage on you, Catherine. Please dive in.
A lot of years in the franchising business and trying to bring that expertise and that experience, both good and bad, to the cannabis industry and these operators.
Well, yeah, what inspired you to get into cannabis in the first place?
Well, I was up in Washington State, and I was driving around, and it was a recreational state, so I thought maybe I'd go check out some of these dispensaries, and realized that didn't know what I was walking into. You had no idea what the brand was like, what the service was going to be like, what the products, how safe the products were going to be that I would potentially purchase. And that really clicked with me, with my history in franchising. And that's really what franchising is all about, is giving the customer something that they, a brand that they can rely on, and they know what to expect and know the quality, not only of the products and the service, but in the cannabis industry, the education that they're going to be able to get. They can walk in and they know that they're going to be able to get their question answered and get the products that they actually need, not just what happens to be on the shelf at the time. So, yes, came back to Phoenix and happened to meet Brian at an event and tossed out my idea, and he latched onto it.
I like that a lot. So it's really the experience, though, right? It's the experience of the dispensary that you are creating that CPG mindset for. It's not really like you're engaging the entity itself and then making sure the products, but you are creating the overall flow of the company throughout its landscape, if you will.
Yes, and not only the customer experience from the time that they come in and the service that they were able to get, but the education that they're able to get, the knowledge base and being able to trust the person that they're, the bud tender that they're talking to and getting the product that they need. But also, you mentioned the brands. We will be vetting all of the products that are in our locations for quality, where the brands came from, making sure that it's that they're safe and that they're of the highest quality that's available in that state. So that's truly a service that we're bringing to these operators.
That's really cool. I like that a lot.
How does one go about vetting all of those products? You'll have to.
There's no shortage.
Well, it's
that job.
It's a position that we'll be hiring here in the next probably 5 to 6 months.
Is this a testing job? No, I'm done. I'm done. Maybe our chat.
Elliot, I'm just going to be honest. I might apply.
You'll never see Tony again. That's really cool. So, have you started this yet, or is this a project that is not project? Is this where are you right now in the stage of your business?
We've launched the franchise offering. It's out there. We have discussions underway with several different groups across the country in different states, not only for single operations but for multiple operations. So we're really excited about the response that we've gotten so far. We just launched in December our franchise offering, so we're just a couple months in, but we've been working on this for the past year in just pulling the prototype floor plans together, really making sure we've got that backroom operations, especially the backroom operations under control, and the design of the dispensary, all perfect, beautiful, so we're ready to go.
And the sustainability, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Expanding that.
Yes, yes. With Brian's assistance and Zone Properties assistance, we've been able to work with our architect and where we can bring in sustainable products and other sustainable aspects of the operation.
That's really cool. So, Catherine, I'd love your thought process and your opinion on the recent news of Chuck Schumer. I asked Brian the same question and the other potential federal legalization, but what does that mean for you and your business moving, through the rest of the year if it potentially happens sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
Well, it's great for us, right? I mean, that helps not only being able to operate more dispensaries and help more people open their retail operations, but really the banking regulations and around the dispensaries right now, so many of them are operating cash, too much cash on hand, in my opinion. So being able to get over those banking restrictions, I think would be a huge opportunity if we can pass this federally.
And for job growth, I imagine. I think unemployment rose this past month. I could be wrong on that if somebody could fact check me, but I believe where the Democrats are sort of looking to the cannabis industry as almost like a playbook. Like, how could we boost jobs in this space? And so let's get a move on this legislation before it's too late, before the next election day.
Yeah. So, I guess a little bit more, could you dive in a little bit more on the back end business side of this? We have a question in the chat. How long are the leases locked in for? But could you maybe expand further as to how you work specifically with, helping these franchisees succeed, the models that you take, and maybe the different, if you have different ways of working with different owners? And obviously, again, I know you're going to point to different states mean different things.
Yeah, every state is so different. So, but in general, we are providing the franchisee with the floor plans and the security systems and these vetted out vendors for all the different aspects that they need for their space. We're giving them the standard operating procedures for how to handle hiring and firing and back office operations, cash management, employee management. It's a lot of those typical franchise and traditional franchise support features, But I think the one of the largest things that we bring is somebody like Brian and Zone Properties, their support in being able to help these franchisees not only identify a location, but really vet it out and make sure that they have the proper zoning. In addition to that, we're staying on top of all of the individual state regulations to keep these dispensaries under compliance with their state. So we're going to be doing a lot of that back-end support for them and that back-end research for them. Coming in and doing some inspections, but primarily to keep them in compliance with the state, not so much to come in and try to run their business.
Quick follow-up. Do you have a favorite dispensary? Both of you, like, do you all have a favorite one you've ever seen and that you would, if you could model every franchise location after that one, it'd be that?
Well, it's not open yet.
Ooh.
It's the open door.
All right.
The best is yet to come.
Yes.
Okay.
Brian's like, I got a lot of favorite dispensaries.
So many.
Awesome. So very cool. You know, I'd love to kind of dive more into the banking side, but I know it is a little bit tedious. So I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question. You know, right now in the states that are banked, what's the most value? Like, where do you find the most value for the franchise locations right now? Is it Arizona? Is it California? Is it Washington?
That's a great question. And do you get frustrated at places like Jersey for sort of being on delay?
Yeah, Brian, I mean, you've got a better grip on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, it's a critical question. We've got a kind of target list of 10 to 15 states that we've researched across all of the different case study markets. And there's several different variables that have gone into that. And Elliot, I think this is going to get to your question. Banking is definitely one, but frankly, there's banking challenges in all states. The mm-hmm. regulatory side, Tony, like you were just mentioning, is high on the list, top one or two. So like we talked about before Kathy hopped on, how does the state regulation and delivery of the new market interact at the local level? That's eventually going to govern how successful that franchisee can be and how well that franchise brand can serve local and state consumers. Other things that go into it is just inventory of real estate. So what are local, on the state level, local restrictions around insurance, around lines of credit for tenant improvements, on capitalizing these facilities and reading the tea leaves? I mean, I think we all know in cannabis, you should never predict the market, but how well can you react to it when variables change? And that's the list of targets for that is also going to be pretty significantly paired on partners in each of these states mm-hmm. that can be true partners to us on delivering that brand to that state market.
All right.
That's awesome. So I would kind of bring us to a wrap here, but I want to understand what your ideal partner looks like. MSO, SSO, I mean, I think both have value, but maybe the larger the better. Is that me oversimplifying?
And maybe I'll step in first and let Kathy wrap us, because I want to tie back into someone's question earlier about the leases, which is also a critical component. I mean, to date, it's really you're on your own. You're navigating this labyrinth, these treacherous waters, dealing with compliance, regulations, raising capital, hiring employees. Sometimes you're in the middle of nowhere. And if you're lucky enough to find a property and get a lease, you want to make sure you're not held hostage by your landlord when it's time to renew that lease or get stuck in a 25-year lease if the state regulatory market has a 3-year delay. So the lease lengths definitely can vary, but the franchise concept, especially in partnership with a real estate company like ours at Zone Properties, some of those strategies to unlock non-viable traditional real estate locations through this process can help stabilize and normalize lease lengths, terms, lease rates for franchisees and operators. And it's to date, you kind of have two choices, right? You go at your own or you try and team up with an MSO.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that this concept, as we deliver it to the marketplace, is it's really a hybridized third option to kind of disrupt the space. It's It's a phrase I really love that Kathy uses all the time, and I'm going to just be a broken record on it. It's for yourself, but not by yourself. And it's a way for these dispensary owners, license awardees, they worked hard. They can keep going at it. They just don't have to go it alone.
I love that. Have you, and because you're not necessarily the only company looking to dive into franchising right now, are you seeing, and you don't have to call it by name, but maybe incorrect ways that it's happening, maybe something that you built upon seeing competitors, or maybe just franchising models in other industries, something that you want to do better when it comes to franchising in cannabis?
Yeah.
Well, I think that the best thing that we've done is we're bringing the traditional franchise tools and tactics into an industry that's maturing, and having my partners like Brian and Chelsea Mulligan, who is our operations guru. She's been in the industry for over 8 years, bringing her experience. It's a perfect trifecta to bring into the cannabis, to these dispensaries. So some of the other franchise models that are out there, they may have one piece or two pieces of that, but being able to really round out our group to support these dispensary operators and these license holders and their investors is I think what is really going to set us apart from any other franchise option.
Awesome. Where, and this may be a little early for this question, so feel free to be like, Elliot, shut up. But where do you expect to be at the end of the year? Like the end of 2021, you could say, I expect us to safely have achieved this.
Have multiple operations in multiple states, multiple franchise locations in multiple states.
I love it. Fantastic. So if we have entrepreneurs listening right now, or maybe potential investors that want more information on this, can they reach out to you all?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And we do have resources. While they're not part of the franchise model, we do have resources available to help a potential franchisee or somebody who's looking to get into the cannabis industry. They're applying for a license. We've got the resources that we can hook them up with. Again, another vetted vendor.
Fantastic. Awesome. We all know how licenses are the bane of all of our existence in the cannabis space. But Catherine, Brian, it sounds like you two are both valuable resources to those looking to enter this space in multiple facets. So it's something of value that I don't know many people can offer. So we are grateful to you both for coming on. And ideally, we'll hopefully be seeing you soon and hearing more about you all in some of our cannabis initiatives down the line here. But again, thank you all so much.
Sounds
absolutely
great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, all right. That was Catherine Blackwell with The Open Door and Brian McLaren with Zoned Properties. They are strategic partners. So I believe Brian McLaren also has a job title with The Open Door. Regardless, they are doing something disruptive, to say the least, Tony.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing really struck me about Catherine said, it's about education too. Mm-hmm. I started noticing that more companies are weaving that into their news announcements about folks being on staff in the dispensaries to really walk customers through the best choices. There was one, Apothecaire's recent in-house physician news. I thought that was pretty cool right here, right where Benzinga is based in Michigan.
There you go.
Yeah. So I've been noticing that a lot because it is about education. You want to differentiate yourself from the competition.
Yeah. Well, differentiation may not be the name of the game when it comes to the franchising model, though.
That's true. That's true. But you know, different franchises, different companies, different in-house specialists, you go where you feel comfortable.
Touche. Awesome. That I enjoyed that discussion. I think real estate is a very long discussion in this industry, and it is far from over. Franchising, I think, is just another aspect of it. So really cool to see them dive into that. So next is a little bit of change of pace, everybody. We are talking to Sky Bioscience. That is OTCQB SKYE. Now, they were once Emerald Bioscience. Yep. They have rebranded. We're going to ask Puneet why. But they have seen taken some interesting steps recently that I think made them a competitor, especially in the therapeutic side. So I'm excited to talk to Puneet Dhillon. How are you, sir? Good to have you. It looks like you got the mute button before I even finished my sentence, man. Making me look bad over here.
Oh, did it? I'm live now. Okay, great.
Yeah, you're live, man. How are you?
Hey, great to connect with you guys. Thanks for having me on, sure. on Cannabis Hour.
Of course. The one and only Cannabis Hour. We're at the big kids table. Puneet, great to have you, my friend. So let's dive right in. You know, bioscience is something that I don't think is top of mind. When I think cannabis, you know, I'm thinking two things, you know, marijuana, let's high, hemp, yeah. hemp CBD, which we don't even need to go into right now. A lot of conversations to be had there. But Puneet, you know, tell us about yourself, your background, and then how you came to Sky. And then maybe just a little bit about the bioscience sector in cannabis. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're covering a lot of ground there. But yeah, sure. Look, first of all, it's a real privilege to be a part of this company. I've taken over as CEO in, I think, less than 180 days ago. Very excited about applying my experience. I come from the pharmaceutical biotech space. I spent the last 2 decades kind of working in different capacities. Most recently, I was the CEO and co-founder of Oncosec Medical, which is a cancer immunotherapy company. I led that company from, you know, a similar stage where we didn't have any clinical trials all the way to a registration trial in melanoma. That company has continued to report data and differentiation in terms of its immunotherapy approach for melanoma. And I pulled together a great team here with what we're doing at Sky Bioscience. They're a team that I've worked with in the past in different companies, both in my experience at Inovio and at Oncosec. And quite excited about what this application can offer. And you're right to point out that you know, this is not your run-of-the-mill you know, cannabis product that's derived from a plant and you can go purchase it at the local retail shop. We're purposefully modifying these molecules and really trying to validate the benefits of cannabinoids. And there's a lot of opportunity in that in terms of what the potential is. And there's we're kind of overcoming the limitations and some of the disadvantages of using, you know, just off the over the counter type of approach to remedying disease. So ours is obviously taking that FDA path, and happy to kind of go into the significance of that.
Well, to treat glaucoma, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So,
go into that. I would love to know more about that because obviously it's a debilitating disease, and people might not think that, you know, relate the two between that and the cannabis industry.
Yeah, so that's a really important point that you're bringing up. So, like, glaucoma is a large market, over 80 million patients worldwide. You know, growing market, very limited treatment options. There is a lot of drugs out there, but they're not working very effectively, and they're more symptomatic kind of relief. And most of those drugs kind of tackle the kind of the cause around glaucoma, which is intraocular pressure. So we believe, you know, this approach is completely differentiated. One being a new class of therapy for glaucoma. I think we can prove the applicability of cannabinoids in this class in glaucoma as well. So we're taking an engineered synthetic cannabinoid to treat this particular disease. If we're able to demonstrate that it can bring lower intraocular pressure as well as show some other mechanisms, then we believe that it's a big win for these patients. But it also creates a wedge for us in terms of the applicability of cannabinoids across other therapeutic applications. So there's, you know, a broader opportunity. And I do want to take a moment to just recognize that with the last speaker, you guys were talking about kind of creative value events. I think that it's important to acknowledge that in the cannabinoid space, we saw something significant happen this week in terms of a validating event that was the acquisition of GW Pharmaceuticals by Jazz Pharmaceuticals for approximately $7 billion. And, you know, it's a great example of Jazz being a an established biotech or pharma company. It had multiple commercial drugs. And this is, I think, an acknowledgement of the therapeutic value of cannabinoid-based drugs in terms of their acquisition of GW. If, you know, for all your listeners, and you guys are well aware of this, I think GW set the bar in terms of being the global pioneer in terms of cannabinoid science. And they were the first to market Epidiolex. They're focused on epilepsy. They were the first plant-based CBD product to be approved by the FDA.
That's right.
And I think that that's what is an interesting moment here in history, where we believe that over time, you know, there's other companies that can replicate that. And clearly, you know, we're focused on trying to replicate that ourselves with the type of validation that we're expecting with the achievement of our milestones and the confidence that we're expecting with the execution that we have this year in terms of development.
I'm curious, as a bioscience company, you know, and maybe you could give me a little bit of education here. There are cannabinoid receptors, right? Like when it comes to our bodies, at least that's what I've been told by many people in the scientific realm. So yeah. Would you be a neuroscience company as well when it comes to that? Or, and I guess a follow-up question, and this could, they don't have to necessarily relate whether you're neuroscience or not, but once we get past you know, this stigma of cannabis and cannabinoids, do you become a different, you know, we're not going to think of you as a cannabis pharmaceutical company. We're going to think of you as a neuroscience company.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So yeah, I think if you take a step back, we're focused on a new class of research altogether. That's, and our first application is in glaucoma, but as you're well aware, the cannabinoid receptors they play a vital role in managing all of these different body functions, and there's different pathways that we're trying to link to with regards to THC or CBD being able to bind to these CB1 or CB2 receptors. So we've chosen glaucoma as an initial opportunity here, because the eye is very rich in these cannabinoid receptors. The CB1 receptor labeling plays a vital kind of function based on several different parts of the eye, and there's specific evidence, at least literature that shows that it's that these parts of the eye are linked to fluid production or drainage that are responsible for vision. So we're basically in one regard taking kind of the low hanging opportunity of an application of our molecule in this approach. But yes, you're right that it has a wider applicability, and the two of the most common cannabinoids are THC and CBD. So what's unique here with Sky is that we have intellectual property around both of those molecules. So we do expect that the pipeline will continue to grow as we get through this first inflection.
That's awesome. We have so many questions in the chat.
Yes,
so let's start with the most recent one. Can you talk about THC VHS? I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very broad thing. So the important kind of component here of THC VHS is that we're working on an opportunity that is basically modifying a molecule that hasn't been effective in terms of being delivered traditionally. So you know, the traditional ways were taking THC or inhaling it. That there's studies that show this. You can look at our deck on our website. And we have a slide that kind of summarizes all of these studies that demonstrated that THC delivered systemically, or an inhalation basically, lowered intraocular pressure. Now, why that matters as a backdrop is that we basically, with that evidence, we've been able to say that, okay, well, then the next obvious thing is take THC and deliver it locally. But THC is lipophilic, which is oily, and the eye is aqueous, which it has a lot of, you know, watery kind of fluid and tissue. So we know that oil and water don't mix very well. So that basically opens the door for coming up with a formulation that improves the bioavailability and stickiness of your drug. So that's where that's what we've done here, is that we've taken THC and modified it by adding this unique amino acid chain referred to as VHS, and we have basically developed a prodrug. And a prodrug is a medication that when you're administering it, it basically metabolizes into the active component. So our approach, the Sky approach, is that we're really unlocking the therapeutic potential of THC, or you can do the same thing for CBD by using this bioengineered approach to basically drop the active component. So when the molecule in the eye, for example, with THC VHS, once we apply the eye drop in the eye, it gets converted in the eye to THC, and the THC is what's known to be able to bind to those cannabinoid receptors that are located on different kind of ocular tissue. So I hope that answers the question. Yeah, basically, we're taking a proprietary engineered approach to these molecules, and we're able to do a very effective job of pinpointing exactly what kind of result we want.
Yeah, super interesting. Tony, we have another good question, I think, that I was actually curious on as well.
Sure.
Your choice to use synthetic cannabis versus natural.
So you can take natural and modify that. I think that the important thing about molecular development or kind of proprietary molecules here is that the synthetic leaves little room for error because you have a very repeatable kind of formulation and approach to that. I think what we're trying to do is take out any variability, but achieve the same kind of action or reaction that you're expecting from the molecule. So we're still working with THC, even though it's bioengineered. So chemically, it's still doing what it's intended to do.
It's predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
I have a question about this next chapter of Sky. I mean, previously it was called Emerald. I don't know if our viewers know that. But you are a new CEO. Said you just passed 180 days. Tell us a little bit about this new chapter of Sky and why that rebranding was important.
Yeah, so I guess like a lot of people ask this question, and you know, the short answer is that it eliminates a lot of confusion in the marketplace with other companies that are named Emerald that are public or going to be public. So the other side of this is that this company has had kind of a research or preclinical track record and has had kind of its hiccups along the way with lack of funding or delays. When I took over, I really wanted to turn the page for this company. And that's, you know, you implied new chapter. So I guess the whole idea here is that we've rebuilt this company from the ground up, from board, management, team. It's an entire new team. I've worked with these individuals over the last two decades. They're very impressive. We've collectively done a lot of different deals together in terms of licensing, partnering with Big Pharma. So we believe that we have a unique track record in terms of really proving out what we've done, and you can see, based on our experience that we've done that in the past. So, I think the new name reflects that in terms of it better represents the company today in terms of it's really focused on execution, but much stricter operational controls. We can't deny that the COVID-19 pandemic has had impact on a lot of companies, and Sky was also affected there in terms of timelines. But I think we've done a really good job of overcoming some of that with our discipline and trying to improve the probability of success over the last 5 months. So that's what the new name is really a reflection that look, there's a a limitless potential. There's a robust pipeline based on proprietary bioengineered cannabinoid technology, and we have a team that's really focused on that, that is committed to seeing it through. And we don't have a choice at this point.
It's very exciting, Puneet. Honestly, once you cure blindness, please do send me your drug, because I will need it by that time. I wear pretty hefty, defty contacts.
Me too.
So Puneet, again, we really appreciate you being here with us. Can you please give our audience some insight on where they can find you, if they can reach out to learn more about, if they want to invest or learn more about the product line that you are making?
Yeah, once again, thanks for really having us. You guys are really helping to increase the visibility of small emerging companies like ours. You can definitely contact us through our email, investors@skybioscience.com, or just find that information on our website, skybioscience.com. I think the company also has active social channels, so just reach out and we're going to be really responsive.
Awesome. You don't meet many CEOs who have as much scientific knowledge as Puneet.
Yeah.
I got a note flash up on my screen. It's actually ir@skybioscience.com.
I bet that was Lita. Hey, Lita. Puneet, again, pleasure having you, my friend. And we look forward to seeing you throughout the year. Puneet will be involved in a few of our industry-focused conferences this year. Very excited to have him and hear more about the progress of Sky. Again, thanks Puneet, and stay healthy.
Great to see you guys. Thanks.
Awesome. Tony, we have talked about real estate, about franchising, and about glaucoma, perhaps therapeutic drugs within cannabis. It's been a fun day. It's not over.
We
have a Cannabis Hour special for you guys. This was pre-recorded, but there is another interview coming your way with myself and Patrick Lane, our SVP of partnerships here with the Valens Company. Very prolific cannabis company out of Canada. So you do want to stick around to that, to hear that. He really goes in depth on their acquisition. He goes in depth on what's ahead in 2021, talks about some recent fundraising. It's exciting. But Tony, I wouldn't do this with any other haircut, my friend.
Well, I wouldn't do this with any other talent. And those big blue eyes. How could I miss them every month?
I'm a Fremen. Dune is coming out. Nobody's going to get that reference. I'm a nerd. It's fine. Awesome. Tony, this was fun, man. I appreciate you. Thank you to Rohan, Aaron, all of the people who help us produce. Thank you to all the people who stuck around and listened to us from Spencer and Joel's show. We are more specific, but we are bringing you the knowledge of cannabis, hopefully weekly. Send me your questions. Send me the people you want to see, ElliotLane@Benzinga.com, and we will do our best to bring you the content you want to see.
Yes.
We will see you next week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, baby, with sound.
Same Benzinga time, same Benzinga channel.
We'll be there.
All right.
All right, y'all. Have fun.
Introducing Under Armour's Infinity High Sports Bra. Its ergonomic design is molded to support the natural movement of your body. With cord-out padding, the better breathability eliminates extra bulk without sacrificing support. And quick-dry padding is Under Armour's fastest-drying padding yet. When you're lifting heavy, running fast, and pushing yourself further than ever before, you need a bra that will help you go that extra mile and make you feel your best. Shop the Infinity High Sports Bra now at UA.com.
Karen is the proven expert in addiction treatment. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen, real results, real care, real about recovery.